August was for anniversaries, as WKLM, Alanovas, Bargain Hunter, and the Holmes County Fair all celebrated milestone years. With this trek back to 2023, I'm Melissa Patrick. In August, two of the Mass brothers, Dave and Michael, would tell the story of how their parents started the Bargain Hunter 50 years ago and WKLM 35 years ago. And while WKLM has been under different ownership since 1990, both still are important forces in bringing the news to Holmes County.
In the same way that when they started the paper, there was no newspaper, you know, to speak of in Holmes County, there was no radio station 15 years later. And they said, well, if somebody's going to own a local station, it might as well be us. Well, they had no idea what they were, you know, asking for at that point in time.
We liked what they were doing, with a few exceptions, but no, we didn't try to change all the music or anything. They sounded really good. We're just really happy that they accepted as well as we have been up there, and it's a wonderful community. I mean, there's nobody, any place that I know of, that does more for people. The quiet mission work that's done, you know, remember the Haiti thing a couple years ago? Just the things that happen up there for people. I mean, it's not just one place. You've got, you know, you got Goodwill, you've got I don't know how many different places that provide things for people that have needs. It's like they just take care of themselves, keep the businesses going, usually, you know, into succeeding generations. And it's like no place else does that. And I think there's a whole lot of story there that could be had.
You know, if we wanted to say, you know what, we're just radio and that's what we are, we realized that we could you're not keeping up with the times that way anymore. You've got to be able to be willing to evolve as a company, no matter what company you are. And us as a radio being a media, we need to recognize that social media is something that's out there. Internet is something that people are going to. They're listening to, a lot of times they're listening to something on their phone. I mean, there's no Walkmans anymore that people listen to the radio and the games before. So if you're so that's something you need to evolve with. And obviously, video is a big deal now. People like watching the games on the video. They like going to watching video with different programs that are on in the area. So I think probably the biggest thing I would be proud of is the fact that we've been willing as a company, our owner on down, has been willing to evolve and to do these things.
But it was a print shop where they printed Wycliffe Bible tracts. You know, my dad has always been a resourceful kind of guy. And one of the things that I learned from my parents early on was that it doesn't really cost anything to evaluate an opportunity. So he said, hey, we've got this printing equipment, let's start a print shop. They say, all we can do is pray. So the four of them clasp hands in the light of flashlights and candles, and they offer a simple prayer. It says, Lord, we feel that you led us to this point. We're never going to get this done without you. So if this is of you, we need your help. Well, within minutes, lights came back on. They got back to work.
And we didn't have everything we have now, so it was waxing machines and cutting border tape, and it was mind-bogglingly slow. The process was just so slow.
WKLM and the Bargain Hunter were not alone in their anniversary celebrations, as the Holmes County Fair would celebrate 100 years with special events and proclamations from elected officials from all levels of government and a special history presentation made by the Historical Society and Bronson Allison from Livemore TV.
Today marks a truly momentous occasion, a century of cherished memories, time-honored traditions, and the unwavering spirit of community that has kept the fair thriving for generations despite its many obstacles. The Holmes County Fair is certainly one of the cornerstones of our community. But this celebration is not about the fair. It's about each of you, the heart and soul of this event. It's about shared experiences and bonds that have been formed over the years. It was so delightful to see the group of past king and queens meeting together in the pavilion prior to this event.
So we've added some more memorabilia up on the tables in the barn to look at. So there's a lot of history up there, a lot of memories. I'm sure people will bring back their pictures the date probably back into the 40s and work up through present day.
Finding the neat historical facts along the way, that's always interesting no matter what we're researching, is things you didn't know, but they pop up in the research because normally you're not sitting there research the 100th anniversary of the fair, you're doing other things. So it's like, oh, this is exciting. We just found out about that. So then that becomes part of your memory of all things historical. So that's what's so fun about it.
There was a lot of research done on other people's parts, and they kind of presented me with like all of the like photos that they had from start to finish. I learned a lot, got to look at it from when it first started up until now, and it was interesting to see how everything came together. I didn't know there was an old airport. I didn't know we had a fair at it. I didn't know they did the fair outside of the courthouse. Like, that blew my mind. It was just a lot. There's a lot of struggles that went along with having the fair happen every year and not missing anything. So that was new to me. I had no idea.
Also remembered at the fair was David and Diane Martin, as the fair board planted a tree by the Shriner Barn in their honor. The fair would go out with a bang, with a tornado confirmed near Sunny Slope Winery on State Route 39, sounding the tornado sirens and implementing warning procedures at the Holmes County Fair.
It's just, it feels so good to know that he is remembered and loved as much as we think he deserves to be. He poured his heart and soul into this place for the last almost 30 years, and, you know, he deserves this and so much more. But I'm so thankful for the Fair Board. They have been through it all. They've been there for us, and they have been there in ways that we can't even come close to thanking them for. You know, Maddox, the other day, my youngest said, I think I want to work at the fair someday like Poppy. And I was like, you got it, dude. I guarantee that you can make that happen.
Pretty much out there by Sunny Slope off of 39. If you take the County Road 51 and about 3/4 mile south, there was some trees that were snapped that they're thinking the tornado was up, tried to touch down there, and it went back up. But if you look at the trajectory of that tornado, it pretty much went right over top of the fairgrounds. So we were very blessed that it stayed as a former bottom line, you know, touchdown. Fair Board made several announcements for fairgoers to report to security structures. The Sheriff's Office actually sent deputies out to clear the fair and making sure people were in safe buildings and all that. So we made several overhead announcements. We also sent out a winds alert for those who signed up throughout the fair. And then the National Weather Service activated the WEA alert, so it was like a missing persons alert kind of went over your phone. And then also the Sheriff's Office initiated the tornado sirens for that. A lot of rain and lightning, there was no tornado threat. So we made announcements over the overhead system for fairgoers to seek shelters. We did a winds alert. That was so heavy of rain, really people initiated on their own to seek shelter.
The livestock auctions would also leave their mark, with the first night surpassing last year's sales by over $50,000 and the second night surpassing last year by around $100,000. August held a special election with just one statewide issue on it, one that would decide if a state constitutional amendment needed a simple majority or a 60% majority to pass. This election would bring out almost 6,000 Holmes County voters and almost 3.6 million Ohioans to the polls. Holmes County would say yes, you need 60%. But across the state, 21 of the 88 counties said no, you don't need a 60% majority, and that would end up being 57% compared to 43%. That said no. Looking forward to the November elections, the Board of Elections would look at combining the Hardy Township precinct and the Millersburg precinct, and discussion would be had about the Clark precinct potentially combining with Walnut Creek. Commissioner Joe Miller would come to the defense of the Clark precinct, as well as offer funds to try and come up with a solution. It would be decided that Clark precinct would stay open for now.
On average, they average 14% turnout. The county average is 30% turnout in all of those same elections. Now, these are special elections, regular elections, everything, but it's consistently about 14% turnout in Clark Township.
So I spent Friday forenoon in Charm, talked to a lot of people. A lot of the people in Charm asked me, are polling taken away because we're Amish? And I said, well, I hope not. There were people that had difficulty getting supposedly no polling place going to be in the Clark Township anymore, and if Beck's Mills is gone, they have to go to Clark to move down there, so that's a big, long area, and those people don't have a lot of polling. We want to help so that there's not less polling places. We we think that's the wrong way to go. That's the constitutional right to have a polling place. We're offering you the funds to hire a person, and we want to, that person would be doing strictly only that kind of work, not to hire an additional person here and there to get integrated into the system here, but somebody to work on it to get poll workers, and also to get Amish poll workers. They haven't been confirmed.
Both East and West Homes would be looking at building projects in August, as East Homes accepted a bid for the new central office and bus garage, and West Homes announced they would be building a new K-5 building with no new taxes for those living in the school district.
Appreciate Danny's work on following that through and helping through the logistics. And we received two bids, one from Knock Construction and then one from A&R Builders. And A&R Builders did come in lower than Knock Construction. So we're asking for your approval there to accept that bid.
That levy has been rolled back to 15.5 mils, adding to the 4.5 mils, we are in the 20 mil floor. What that 20 mil floor means is that we get growth on property tax increases. So when reappraisal happened, we got an increase. When triennial updates happened, we got an increase. So what we are looking at as an alternative method to help to reduce the burden to our taxpayers is we're looking at converting 2.9 of these inside mils to permanent improvement. And in doing so, if we did just this, it would be a property tax increase. Now, I've never been a fan of that because that's an unvoted property tax increase. About 50% of schools in Ohio have done this, and they've done this just this week, increased taxes. So when we shift these, this does not change the 20 mil floors because it keeps the 1.6 mils needed there to still maintain our 20 mils for our operating income budget. And as we transfer those over to permanent improvement, as I just shared, that would be a property tax increase. So we would look to stop collection on 1.35 mils and the 0.71 mils. So two of the property tax levies that we've been renewing would be with stop collection. We would no longer collect those. And when you add the expiring bond issue for 1.66 mils, we would actually be decreasing on the flip side of it by 3.72 mils. So essentially what we're looking at then is using the 2.9 mils and the remaining 1.98 mil levy to fund a new kindergarten to fifth grade elementary. And as I shared, we would then be able to issue, it works like a bond issue. They're called COPs, they're called certificates of participation, and it would work just like the bond issue would as a 30-year note. Essentially, that revenue from the 2.9 mils and the 1.98 mil emergency levy would allow us to retire the principal and interest. And then we would be able to do this and have a new kindergarten, fifth grade building that would come with all of the benefits that we have evaluated for coming district-wide to one campus.
Around the state, Ohio's political maps would go back to the drawing boards as the governor reconvened the Ohio Redistricting Commission to redraw maps determined to be unconstitutional, and there would be a bus accident in Clark County where one child was killed and 23 others were injured. With this look back at August, I'm Melissa Patrick.